This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. If you want to give to WKAR, all you've got to do is call 353-5000, area code 517-353-5000 to make a pledge to WKAR. We'll tell you more about that and how you can make a pledge a little bit later on in today's edition of Sports Talk 870. But we're going to start out talking about the NHL playoffs with our good friend Neil Koepke. So let's bring in Neil and talk a little NHL playoffs. Neil, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Earl. Best time of the year coming up, the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yes, they are. I'm really excited about the playoffs. And even though most people are down on the Wings, I've taken the opposite tack. I'm going to go full bore with the Wings this year. Nashville's pretty good. They've got a very good goalie. One of the better goal scorers in the year is back from Russia. So the Predators are really good, and they're going to give the Wings a good tussle.
They are. It's going to be a very difficult series, and the Predators have come sort of out of nowhere in the sense of a team that just gets in the playoffs and basically can't win more than one round like they did last year. And then all of a sudden this year, this team in St. Louis were just an amazing team, set of teams in the Western Conference, and basically outshined a lot of other teams that were like San Jose and Chicago and even the Red Wings to a certain extent. And Earl, I just picked up my copy of Sports Illustrated for the week. And in there, Michael Faber, the esteemed hockey writer for SI, he picks for the Western Conference Final to be Vancouver and Nashville. So people are thinking Nashville is going to go, you know, three rounds this year and obviously make some noise in the Western Conference. And that leaves the Wings and many others, to be leftovers. And I think this is one year where the Wings in that underdog role might be able to thrive. Don't necessarily expect it, but I think all the attention is on the other team and people are picking against you, it's almost better than say, this will be a lock, let's go to the next round, and the Wings would have to, you know, deal with that. But this is going to be a very difficult series, but even more, I think more interesting just to see where the Red Wings are at and how they sort of adapt to this role when they haven't been very, you know, hot coming into the last part of the season, struggled here and there, but hopefully with the team sat back with injuries and maybe getting Darren Helm back for games 2 and 3 and so forth, that might change things. But no question, interesting series, and one that I think everybody's pretty much saying it's going to go 6 games or 7, depending upon whether you pick the Red Wings or pick the Predators.
Yeah, Nashville is a very big team. They've got a lot of big players. I mean, they're huge. Their goalie is huge. So this is definitely going to be a tough test. It's good that the Wings are starting to get healthy right now. Hopefully they'll be healthy enough to make a difference in the playoffs, but it is good that they're becoming healthy at this point in time of the season.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you think about a month and a half ago, the Wings were on that roll. It was a talk of the NHL by setting the home ice record for most consecutive victories, and everyone thought, well, the Wings are back, and then right after that, you know, that's when the injuries started taking place. That's when Datsyuk went down. That's when Zetterberg was banged up. You know, and it went one after the other. Jimmy Howard missed several games there, and coming into late March, early April, it was not a good situation for the Red Wings. And you know, they had a chance to finish higher than Nashville, and they lost some key home games the last 2 weeks of the season. Nashville certainly deserving, and they've got some really good players that the Wings fans who already know, because the Wings have been battling Nashville for several years. You know, in the playoffs and mostly in your regular season, and they are always a tough team to beat. And then the national fans are going to get to see Pecorini and Shea Weber and Suter and the players up front. Nashville's always had a problem scoring goals, but this year they've added some elements into their lineup, which makes them very dangerous. And when you put in their big goaltender and Pecorini and their defense, they've added a defensive part, bringing in Hal Gill, who I believe is 6'7". And then up front, they brought in Alexander Radulov, one of their players that came over from Europe. And it is, just seemed to get better and better, and brought in a, you know, defensive specialist in Paul Gostad. And it's just a different type of team than what we've been used to. So they've got all the elements, and now it's the, you know, Red Wings' challenge to fight back and to bring their game to the level where Datsyuk and Zetterberg and Franzen are playing at a high level, and the defensive core is standing up and making good reads and making good decisions. So it has all the elements of a great series. I can see why people are picking the Nashville Predators, and I think I would pick them too in 6 or 7, but again, that's why they play the games. And so that's one of several series, Earl, that very intriguing. And I know that NHL fans throughout the country will be watching this one, but there's a lot of others too to watch. So it's going to be a fun two months until the Stanley Cup champion is crowned.
Well, that's one thing I like about the hockey series, Neil, in that, you know, it doesn't matter what the matchups are. If you got two good teams playing against each other, anybody can win. You can't say anybody. If I look at the 1-8 series, and the 8 teams can certainly beat the number 1 seed. In basketball, you hardly hear that in the NHL, in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, the NBA goes according to form. It's tough for an 8-7-6 to win a series there because of the difference. But in hockey, you know, an 8-1 and a 7-2, very dangerous. And geez, if you look at the Western Conference series with Vancouver and LA, that looks like a pretty good match for Vancouver. But the next one, when you've got the St. Louis Blues and San Jose Sharks, San Jose's always been up there, but now San Jose's been back down, you know, in the bottom, just fight to make the playoffs. But that doesn't mean St. Louis is a lock just because they've been on a roll. They should advance, but funny things happen.
Yes.
And out east, when you look at Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, you look at Ottawa and the Rangers, that's an 8-1, and yet in the regular season, Ottawa had the edge in that series. So a lot of, and then again, the first couple games, people will make a lot of assumptions. If some team sweeps, they'll say, oh, it's all over. Or if the road team happens to win the game and goes back, then it's like, oh, they're in trouble. You read the tea leaves too quickly in the NHL. You just got to wait it play out, because many times it goes 2-2, 1-1, and now we're playing game 7. Obviously, hockey is just a little bit more relying on the bounce and a hot goaltender, and that could obviously make such a difference when you're looking at a low seed versus a high seed.
Hey, when you get to the playoffs, what makes, or what do you see, how does a goaltender get hot all of a sudden and becomes a hot goaltender in the playoffs? Do they just play better, or what do you think is the secret behind them becoming a hot goaltender when the playoffs come around?
Well, I think part of it, Earl, is that the mindset of everybody on the ice, from your defense to your forwards, is that more of a, let's protect our goaltender more, let's play honest defense, let's play responsible. And so what happens is the games become a little more defensive, a little more chess-matchy for a while. And then that gives the goaltender, who makes a few saves here and there, more protection. He's not exposed. And suddenly his confidence level shoots up a little bit. And then he starts making these big saves, and now he's in what they call the goaltender zone. And suddenly that's a big factor in that series. I think another aspect is if a goaltender comes into the playoffs hot, a lot of victories in the last part of the season, maybe some shutouts, just a good feeling. I mean, when you think about it, teams can be struggling early March, and suddenly in late March, if they put a string of victories together and their goaltender is playing at a high level, suddenly they're all excited and they're all confident about going to this playoffs. And a couple of years ago, Halak from the Montreal Canadiens just had a sensational playoff. And the Canadiens weren't very good, but I believe they had upset the Bruins and went on to the Stanley Cup semifinals in the East. And basically it was because of one thing, the goaltender. And no one saw it coming, although he did play okay at the end of the regular season. But it was a matter of the mindset with the Canadiens. They got in a little bit of a role. They like to be the little underdog. And when they went in to Boston or whomever on the road, Philadelphia, they basically thought pressure was all on the other team, and they were able to play a game that was able to pull out a victory, and the goaltender was a big reason for that. So it's one of those things, you just hope. And obviously Red Wing fans and Red Wing you know, management, players and coaches are also saying, can Jimmy Howard get to that level? Can he suddenly be hot? Can he maybe take some of our negatives and some of our weaknesses and hold the fort and hold off the Predators until we can regroup and maybe we make big plays, maybe Zetterberg and Franzen rise to the occasion so we can, like, attack Pekarinen. But Pekarinen is probably considered, if not the best goalie in the National Hockey League, you know, one of the top three. It's probably either between Pekarinen, Darren Fleury of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and Henrik, Rangers goaltender, who is really, you know, playing in a high level too. So Lundqvist is sparkling for the Rangers, Pekarinen sparkling for the Nashville Predators. And these big goaltenders, sometimes they can be so difficult to beat because they just don't give you much room. And if you get them room side to side, they could be just equally as potent because they if they're smooth and if they're just in position all the time, it is just so difficult. So that means more traffic, extra energy, and you just have to play the high-level offense to beat those guys. And that's the challenge, one of the challenges the Red Wings are facing when they're trying to score on their goaltender. And the other one, of course, is trying to keep pucks out of the net because Nashville has a swagger going, and they just play. They're a hard team to play against because they can be physical, annoying, and they've got a little better skill level where they can convert chances. And if Nashville goes on, Earl, to go to the next round, the next team they face going to have the same situation that the Red Wings face, and even more so because they'll be confident and have some swagger going to that next round.
I know Nashville.
It all starts with goaltending.
Yeah, the Nashville goalie, he's great as I was reading at cutting off angles and decreasing the angles of the shots that the Wings can get. And if he can do that, if he can make it difficult for the Wings to get off shots, especially from different angles, boy, that's really going to make it tough on the Wings.
That's right. And in order to score any goalie, you know, hot or cold, I mean, you just have to, you know, create chances in front where you're taking advantage of the other team's forwards or the other team's defense and creating mismatches, creating open shots. That's the key. And when you get those open shots, you just have to be, you know, on target. And obviously it doesn't take a lot because if you score three goals, you should have a good chance to win. And if your defense is playing up to snuff and you can, you know, counter by your goaltender playing well, 3-2 should win. Maybe four goals is almost like maybe even a certainty because you don't want to get in to run and gun in the playoffs. And some teams like to play that way. Some teams, but even those teams that like to play, and the Red Wings are one of them, like to push the puck, be aggressive, and be on top of you. Sometimes in the playoffs, it doesn't work as well because the other team is so more focused on defense. So and also when you play that way, your transition game is exposed, so that going back the other way, you're going to give up some shots. And really, if the Wings have had a weakness this year, it's been on the back line. Their defense just hasn't provided the strength that most Red Wing teams do. Jimmy Howard's been good. He's been excellent at times, but he can't do it alone. He's got to have help. And if other shooters are in tight and they're, you know, getting loose pucks behind the net, making that centering pass to open players, and they've got some tic-tac-toe passes going, that's tough to defend against. In the past, the Wings have been more mobile, and they've been quicker to block off shot angles and just shut down the opposition in front of the net and not allowing them to get many open chances. This year, that's been a little bit of an issue, and I think that's why most of the Nashville experts see the way Nashville plays and what's been plaguing the Red Wings, and that's sort of a easy way to say, well, the Red Wings have done well from the past, but this is the time that, you know, not only do they not advance long in the playoffs, they don't even get out of the first round. And most of it is the Predators, high rise and high stock and just the way they're playing. But a lot of it has to do with just the Red Wings, some of their weaknesses that maybe they think that they can't overcome when they're facing a team as strong and resilient as the Nashville Predators.
Well, who do you think's going to play for the Stanley Cup championship? Who do you have in the finals?
Much as I like the Predators, Earl, I believe this is the year of the Vancouver Canucks. Even though they have the Sundins hurt, and they're going to play, I believe. Daniel had a concussion late, and he's considered day-to-day, but I think he's probably going to play this series, and if not, maybe later in the series. But I think Vancouver, with the goaltending tandem, Luongo and Corey Schneider, and some of their depth up front, including David Booth, the former Spartan, who is on their second line, has been a valuable addition to their team. I think Vancouver overcomes the challenge by St. Louis and the formidability of the Nashville Predators and advances to the Stanley Cup Finals in the West. And out East, you know, I want to say that the Pittsburgh or the New York Rangers, but I still see the way the Penguins can be dangerous. And with the best goalie, you know, almost in hockey, and Darren Fleury, I think that with Crosby and Malkin back together, and a few issues here and there that they're deft. I mean, no one's ever heard of James Neal, but he's got like 37, 38 goals, and he's just tremendous. And then there's Staal. So they're loaded with offensive skill. If the chemistry is right, and I think it will be, I think they'll go to the finals and play the Vancouver Canucks, and I think Vancouver wins it in about six or seven. Not saying that, we've got a great series matching up, Earl, starting, I think, tomorrow, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. And
yes.
That's going to be one nasty affair because the two rivals hate each other, and obviously an in-state battle. It's 4-5 playing starting in Pittsburgh, and I could be dead wrong to start by Philadelphia pulling an upset. I don't think it'll happen, but it has potential. And that is what you've got to watch out for, and that's what makes this whole thing fun, that you can pick a team that looks like Stanley Cup ready in the Pittsburgh Penguins, and before you know it, they're not even in the second or third round. So it should be fun, but I'm going with Vancouver. I think they learned a lot last year playing the Bruins. I think they're a lot more they used to be the most disliked team in Canada just because of their arrogance a little bit and because of their swagger. I think they've toned that down a little bit, and I think they've got the ingredients to go a long way with their depth. But again, nothing would surprise me right now. I just think that those teams are in line to play in June, and with Vancouver winning the Cup.
Okay. Hey, Neil, I want to thank you for joining me. It's always a pleasure of me talking to you. I heard you're on the move again. You're going to be going somewhere else?
Going somewhere else?
Yeah, did I hear that?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought.
I know.
Okay.
I'm still the MSUSpartans.com hockey writer, and still going to be doing that, and just doing freelance stuff here and there and whatnot, but as far as seeing one place, after coming back from Tampa, Florida, Earl, I wouldn't mind spending more time in the Florida sunshine because I noticed today it's about 87 degrees there, and
which
is a little warmer than here. And a week ago right now when I was in Tampa covering the Frozen Four, the first day I was there was 95.
Wow.
And on that same morning on the way to the airport in Detroit, it was 41. So it was quite a difference. And since I've been back, thank God I'm seeing the sun. Mm-hmm. But when I walk outside, I know I'm not in Tampa, Florida.
Yep. Hey, thanks a lot, Neil. We'll talk to you again real soon, buddy.
Okay, Earl, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yep, bye-bye.
Bye.
And that's Neil Koepke, the Spartan blogger, writes for MSU, covers hockey for Michigan State, and he knows hockey, the National Hockey League, college hockey. He knows it all. Neil's one of the best hockey writers and knows hockey, all of hockey, whether it's college or pros. Give us a call. The time now, 24 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after a short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Santorum calls it quits. Even Newt says Mitt's gonna win, but the former speaker will press on regardless. The president brandishes the Buffett rule, and Illinois Republican Tim Johnson wins his congressional primary, then promptly retires. I'm Neil Conan, political junkie Ken Rudin on Romney's next challenge. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon, I'm Scott Pohl with the weather forecast. We have a freeze warning until 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Today will be partly sunny with a high of 50 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy with widespread frost as the low gets down to 28. Thursday, sunny, the high 55. Mostly sunny with a high of 61 Friday.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, toll free. 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk at WKAR.com. WKAR.org. And if you want to give to WKAR, become a member of the WKAR family, just give us a call at 353-5000, area code 517-353-5000, area code 517. Right now, we have a total of dollars pledged to us at $32,079. Web dollars are $11,819. We have a total number of pledges of 194 and 33 new pledges. So we want to get more new members out there. We know a lot of you listen to us every day, have not given to WKAR. So now take out the time, call, and pledge your support to AM 870. Well, I know one thing. We never get enough of talking about football. We have a ton of people out there that just want more football information, more football. We're going to do that now. We're going to talk with George Sipple from the Detroit Free Press and talk about the Spartans and how Michigan State is doing in spring football. So let's bring in our good friend George Sipple. George, how you doing, buddy?
How are you?
Hey, doing good. And hey, the Spartans are you know, it's a couple of weeks. We've got two more weeks to go before the Michigan State spring game. So how do you see spring football has been going? I know we haven't seen a ton of it, but you know, is it enough? Do you think that they have enough competition among the guys about guys getting playing position and playing time or fighting for playing time?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously a lot of people want to see those receivers, you know, how they fare in the spring game, and obviously there's a lot of competition there, and from what we've been able to gather from Antonio, there's even competition at places we didn't think there'd be competition, like at running back. You know, everybody assumed that, you know, Le'Veon Bell would automatically be, you know, the main guy at running back, and judging from D'Antonio's comments, even yesterday on the Big Ten call, you know, it seems like he's Bell is the front runner, obviously, but there's going to be obviously competition there with Caperhill and Langford. So I think it's probably good, you know, in the spring he's not giving anybody the job, even a guy as obvious as Bell.
We know that he's got most of his starters from last year returning on defense. Is there much competition on the defensive side? Do you have see many many battles over there?
You know, I think inside, you know, we don't really know what the battle is going to be like for playing time at defensive tackle and also you know, with the linebackers, because you know, right now, you know, Chris Norman and Lawrence Thomas are limited in what they can do in practice. So, I think there's some competition there for playing time in the spring at linebacker.
What about Tyler Hoover? He's had to move inside to take Darrell Worthy's place. You know, he's a big guy, and it's a little odd that you have such a big guy moving inside to play defensive tackle where he was on the outside playing the defensive end. Do you find that strange, or do you think that's going to work?
You know what? I think they've got enough depth there that I think it will work. And I talked to Tyler a couple of weeks ago, and I think one of the encouraging things about him was that he was pretty smart about the move. I mean, he told me that, you know, that he talked to Worthy and got some advice from Worthy about playing that position. So, yeah, I think, you know, if he can stay healthy, I think he can certainly play that position.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough battle, and we talked about the receivers. What about Arnett? Do you think he's going to get? I mean, I guess it's just still speculation at this point. Will he get to be eligible and play this year? Do you think that'll happen?
Well, just from what the coaching staff has said, it seems like they think he will be. I know they've sort of couched it by saying, you know, that they'll deal with it if he's not, but it seems, judging from what they've been saying, that they're confident that there's precedent set already that he'll be able to play, and I think they're kind of banking on it. And there's a lot of talent there that we just, you know, we don't really know yet, you know, how it's all going to pan out. But there's certainly not a lack
a lack of talent at the central spots.
That's the one thing we know. There's a ton of talent out there by Michigan State. They're not all the quote-unquote five-star recruits, but they've got good players, and you know, the staff has a good knack for getting those guys to play at a upper echelon kind of level. And since they always say, you know, they're trying to develop more competition, when you look at the overall competition, how do you think it is right now? You don't see anybody, like you said with Hoover, you don't see too many people out there comfortable that they've got a spot tied up. They're all constantly fighting to get playing time. Do you see many positions where guys will be fighting for, maybe I'll get 10, 15 minutes, or maybe I'll just get 5 minutes? How do you see that competition for playing time among the positions?
Well, I think it remains to be seen a wide receiver. I mean, everybody's talked about, you know, Tony Lippett, Tony Lippett, I think, and Keith Mumphrey, just because they have had the most time with Maxwell, I think you would say that they're the favorites going in, along with Arnett for playing time. And then, you know, you got a freshman like Kyle Carrick who's already here and battling for time, and I think he maybe has an edge for playing time at wide receiver. And then, I don't think there's any competition at right guard. I think Chris McDonald is definitely the guy there, and it would seem like a lot of those spots are locked down. You know, Fofanati at right tackle and Travis Jackson at center, and then Dan France at left tackle. Although Skylar Berkeland is obviously going to play, a matter of which tackle he plays at and how much he plays. But and then Blake Treadwell at left guard. So I think most of the offensive line spots are kind of spoken for, but you don't know how much a guy like redshirt freshman Jack Allen, everybody's talked about him, for the past year about how good he was as a scout team guy. Maybe he figures into the mix for a few snaps a game.
I know we looked at a lot of these positions, and one of the positions we haven't talked about, I haven't had a chance to, I was going to ask the coach about it, is the punter. I mean, how much do you think the punter will have to improve to help the team even more this year? I mean, we know he's been solid, but does he have to get better, or what does he have to do to get even better? So I know I got to address that, to the coach when we're out there again.
I wouldn't say it's a weakness of the team, though. I mean, I think all their special teams are they would expect to be strong. I think Conroy has to, kick better than he did last year too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I wouldn't think that special teams is considered a weakness for this team coming back.
Yes, and what about they've got this tough game against Boise State. It's just like it's weird how this year both Michigan opens up with the tough game. Michigan State opens up with the tough game. We know Michigan's game is going to be tougher against Alabama, and Michigan State's going to have a tough one against Boise State. Do we know how many people are coming back? We know they'll be like Michigan State, won't have a quarterback. But what about the other positions? Do they have much? Is it similar to Michigan State? Do you know it of at this time, or are they just going to be a lot of more guys fighting for different positions there?
Truthfully, I haven't really looked at their team. I've been spending most of the time concentrating on Michigan State, but obviously that's going to be a tough test. Andrew Maxwell is definitely going to have to prove himself right out of the gate, which I would imagine the Michigan State coaching staff is excited about. There's not really a warm up for these guys. I mean, they've got to be on their game right from the first snap. I would imagine that they probably like that.
Yes, they're quite sure, because as you know, we've heard many a times, in years past, how they have these four cupcakes, and then they start the regular season. This year it's going to be a little bit different, isn't it? They're going to start out having a tough game right from the get-go.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly not a cupcake to begin with, and I think that's good. I mean, you're going to have to prove yourself. They're proving themselves right now through spring, once that first snap goes, the best guys are going to have to be the best guys right off the bat, and I think by that time. We'll have a clear understanding, who those starting guys are at wide receiver. I think by then, we'll know, who they expect to be the top guys.
Yes, and what we looked at it looks like the offensive line is going to be solid. Defensive line, and another area we take for granted because they're all back and they were good last year. How good do you think? How much better do you think the linebacking core will be after last year? Because they were good last year.
Oh yeah, I mean they were tremendous, and another year of experience obviously is going to do wonders for Max Bulla. He told me that, last year at this time, he wasn't really comfortable calling, on the defense, just because he was a young guy. He said it helped that the leaders of the team sort of had his back, but he didn't really feel comfortable. I think now he does. He feels like a leader now, and he's gonna have to be a leader, this year, and so I would expect that we're going to see even better things to come from Max Bulla, Danico's Allen. I think last year, he really emerged as a big time player for the team, and I think he's only going to get better, And then you've got Jones at star right now. He's playing because. Because Norman is out, I think they expect big things out of Jones and Darian Harris as well, who was a redshirt freshman. He's a redshirt freshman. I think he's going to see a lot of playing time as well this year.
And one thing I noticed, especially over the last few years, one of my main complaints about Michigan State football over the years was a lack of depth. But now it seems like they've got a very good, are developing a large system of players with depth, and they look like they're going to have a good quality team. When you look at the team overall, do you see this team as having a lot of depth this year?
Oh, I think they have a tremendous amount of depth. You could argue that they have depth at every single position. I mean, I think if you had to, you could play the backup in an emergency at every single position. Maybe fullback would be the one position. I think Nico Pelizzetti. I'm not sure after him, who would be really effective and. And if Maxwell went down, I guess Connor Cook would be the guy. And we haven't really seen a ton of Connor Cook, although they say good things about him. But at every other position, even tight end, Denzel Drone moving over there, moving from the defensive side of the ball. They've talked a lot about this Andrew Gleichert, the sophomore. They've talked him up. So even at tight end, I think they have more depth than we expected them to have.
Okay. Hey, we've got a question for you, George. George, we've got Todd from Lake Orion. Todd, how you doing?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Hi. George. I want to kind of hit you rapid fire, I guess. First, I'll hit the offense. I know nothing. It's not official until the NCAA says it's official. But I guess being around the coaching staff and the players, how confident do they seem that D'Anthony Arnett will be able to play in the season opener? I know it's not their choice to make. It seems as though they were cautious and wanted to make everything was lined up. But have you got a feeling about how they feel his chances are being able to play in that Boise State game? And then two players that I thought played exceptionally well in the bowl game that kind of maybe got overlooked, maybe not one of them. But I thought that as a freshman punter, Sadler did a remarkable job. I thought placing Bates, who wasn't all big performer, but especially in that bowl game and really through the whole year, I think Sadler is a weapon as a punter. I know a lot of people don't care about special teams, but I would put Conway and Sadler against up against anybody in the Big Ten. And then finally, the last player that I, you know, had a good season was maybe a little hit by injuries, but, you know, maybe won them the Georgia game kind of in the team effort is Denard, the corner. Is he a kid that can get that much better? I mean, to me, played a little bit as a true freshman, got some experience, played better. But I tell you what, the pairing of him with Adams has got to be about as strong a, you know, cornerback duo as you're going to find in this comment. If you if you could comment on those three things, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, like I said, I definitely think that the coaching staff feels that they've got a strong case for Arnett to play right away. To me, it seems like they expect the NCAA to grant them that waiver. I do think that they expect Arnett to be available from the get go. I agree with you about Sadler. I think he had a great year. I think you could expect him to only get better. And I think special teams is definitely going to be a strength for this team. We know that Dan Conroy, you know, we know he can get the job done because he's done it before. Sadler's only going to get better. I think Nick Hill's going to be great on special teams as well. And then what was the third question? Denard. I think they definitely are going to feel pretty confident with those two corners with Johnny Adams coming back. I know there was some talk about him maybe looking at the NFL, but him coming back as a fifth year senior, and then Denard, and then you know you've still got Isaiah Lewis. You know, he's going to get better at strong safety. And then you've got a real, you sort of have a battle at free safety with Drummond and the redshirt freshman R.J. Williamson. So I think the secondary is definitely goes in being a strength of the team.
Okay. Hey, George, I want to thank you for being with us. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. We'll talk a little bit more during this spring football and as we get closer to the spring game, and we'll get your opinion on how you think. I know, I always like the draft coming. You know, we'll look at that draft and, how the guys pick it, because that always makes it a little bit difficult, doesn't it, for us covering the game, because, you know, it's just going to be two teams. They're going to be out there, but it's hard to get a sense of team structure when they have this draft. But it'll be fun to cover, won't it?
You know, I was thinking about that before I came on. I thought, last year I think everybody kind of assumed that Tony Lippitt would be that guy. You know, seems like every year there's a guy that sort of is an obvious guy that everybody's excited about battling over, and I don't know about this year. I don't know if there's there's so much depth that, maybe I'm thinking maybe Arnett would be the guy just because of a lot of the buzz with him coming in and, him transferring. I think maybe he can be the first pick. But who do you think will be the first guy?
Well, I would think it would be Maxwell, but I'm almost more interested in seeing how soon will Connor Cook go. Do the players view it as it's a closer competition than what we've been led to believe, you know?
Yeah, I guess I was thinking that Maxwell would be one of the guys picking, as opposed to being a draft pick. But yeah, you're right. I think Connor Cook definitely is going to be a guy. He's going to have to be the quarterback for the other team. So, it's going to be interesting. You know, it'll be interesting to see how they split up the running backs as well. So
there's
so much talk about it.
Yes, because I talked to Nick Hill for a long time earlier this spring, and I'm curious to see. I mean, he knows he's in a battle just to get some playing time at running back, so I know he's going to be doing everything he can to get out on the field as a running back as opposed to just running back kicks and punts. I know he likes it, but he wants to be a running back, that's for sure.
You know, and D'Antonio keeps talking about how Jeremy Langford might be one of the fastest guys or the fastest guy on the whole football team. So it'll be interesting to see how he performs in the spring game as well.
Okay. Hey, George, I want to thank you again. I'll see you on Thursday, buddy.
Yep, will do.
Okay, bye-bye. And that's George Sipple from the Detroit Free Press, 45 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
We've heard a lot of talk lately about pink slime and ground beef. Ryan Lynette looked closer at what's in his burger and found another red flag, disodium inosinate.
Since I don't know what it is, I'd rather not put it in my body.
Food scientists say it's just fermented vegetable starch.
Scary? No, not at all.
I'm Neil Conan. What's in our food? Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
A freeze warning has been issued until 8 a.m. tomorrow. The high today, 50 degrees and partly sunny. Tonight, widespread overnight frost, partly cloudy with a low of 28. Sunny with a high of 55 tomorrow, and mostly sunny Friday, the high will be in the low 60s. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 353-5000. That's if you want to give us a pledge. Send us a pledge here to WKAR. That's 353-5000. If you just want to call with a sports question, just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, tonight is the night, 8 o'clock. The Detroit Red Wings and the Nashville Predators, they drop the puck in Nashville at 8 o'clock tonight. And right now, though, you can drop, I would say not a puck, but you could drop us a few bucks here and send us a pledge here to WKAR, 353-5000, area code 517. We need your support. We only come to you twice a year asking you to pledge your support to WKAR. And we know that there are a lot of you out there. You might be sitting at your computer right now. Just click on your computer and click on that you want to give. It's real easy. You can just click on your web browser there and just click on that you want to give to WKAR. It's very simple and very painless. So click on your computer and just tell folks you want to make a pledge to AM 870 WKAR, especially for the sports leaders. Every group, everybody that works here sort of picks up and likes to get a little pledge for their group. And we're no different here at sports. We want you and all the sports listeners to call in and pledge your support, because what that does, it tells us here and the people around that, hey, the sports is really viable. People really like the sports, and that's what you do. You're saying basically how much you like and enjoy our sports talk right here at WKAR. So just give us a call. Pledge your support to AM 870 WKAR, area code 517-353-5000. That's the number to call to pledge your support to AM 870 WKAR. We certainly appreciate it. We appreciate whatever you can give, whether it's $5, $100, whatever you can afford to give. We appreciate that. We know that some of you have a very difficult time in giving us a lot of money, and we appreciate whatever you can give. We're very, very thankful for that. So give us a call at 353-5000, area code 517. Pledge your support to AM 870 WKAR. And Jacob, I don't know if we're going to have people calling in. And today, you still haven't cut your hair yet, so maybe they'll maybe they'll call in and say, "Hey, we wanted to get you to chop off some of those locks."
I will. I said Monday. I will. I'll get a haircut eventually. I'm not going to shave it, but I'll get a haircut, and I do need one. And everyone keeps telling me that, so we'll see.
Okay, well, we'll stay on you. We'll hopefully you'll get to it, and maybe if some of our callers and some of our listeners out there will start bugging you too.
I would be very impressed if that happened.
It might happen. You never know. We've got some very savvy listeners out there. They might call and say, "Hey, tell Jacob to he's got to shore it up here and just be and get his hair cut." So it might happen. We'll look forward to it and see if he'll make make that happen for you. And, hey, what about I did have to question with you for the hockey playoffs. I'm looking at all – we've got some great matchups here in the playoffs, you know, some great, great matchups in hockey playoffs. So we should have some fun looking at the hockey playoffs. We've got three matches coming up tonight. And so we've got some or four matches coming up tonight. We've got some great, great games you're going to see.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of great hockey to be played. And, you know, as we talked about before, the NHL playoffs are always a fun one to watch. So it's going to be fun.
Yep, and then, of course, with spring football right around the corner, we'll be talking about spring football here in the next couple of weeks. Michigan State will be having their spring game coming up on the 28th, but we'll talk about that. But right now, we just have to talk about making our goals as a fundraising team and getting our team. You know, we have our team here, you know, Jacob, so we've got to get our team here to make a better impression on our listeners out there so they give up a little bit of their funds to help us out here at WKAR. That's something that has to be done every year. We have a lot of TV fundraisers. We have only two on radio, but we have a lot more fundraisers on television. But, you know, if you're a longtime radio listener, you know, it's definitely worth it to you to call in and pledge your support to WKAR. You might like any of our programs. We have so many good programs on the radio. So if you like any of them, call and pledge your support. Give us a call at 353-5000, 353-5000, area code 517. And we'd like to make you now. We've got 194 total pledges and 33 new pledges. Now, that means we need a lot more of that new pledge. There are so many of you out there who listen but have never called in and pledged your support. Now's the time to do it. Now's the time to become a member of the WKAR family. We're looking for all of you who've never given before to become a first-time contributor. You know, you'll feel good. It'll make you feel better. It'll certainly make you help you feel better if you call in and pledge your support to AM 870 WKAR. So call us right now, 353-5000, area code 517. And, you know, Jacob, we talked a lot of football today, so we gave a lot of those people, as you know, we had some callers the other last couple of days saying they want more football, and so we're trying to give them more football. They want to hear more football from us.
Football is certainly year-round. It just never ends, and everybody always wants more. I mean, we're several months out here from the from the first game, and you know, everyone's still getting, you know, it calms down in the summer a little bit after spring ball's done with, but always fun to dream and wish that football season was in play right now.
Yeah, I've been asked over the years, you know, what sport I like best, or what sports do you think drives the programs more. I told them if we wanted to, we could do a football show every day. You know, it's so strong. You know, you have someone on talking about football each and every day. It's so strong. So people really do love their football. I'm sort of wondering, Jacob, with all the changes on the pro level and on all the bounties and all this stuff, what kind of effect will it have on the college game? Do you think all that stuff will have any effect on the college game?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the college game has a different set of problems, different things that they worry about. And there's different debates going on at the college level in terms of athlete pay and all these different things. So, you know, it might put more scrutiny on some of these issues that are being discussed at the college level. But it's a different set of problems, and the NCAA has, you know, a whole different rule book, obviously, that we all know about. So the college game has their own things that they've got to worry about.
Well, one thing they won't have to worry about, I was going to ask you about this one, Bobby Petrino. He got fired from Arkansas last night, and you talk about a guy who really screwed up and had a good job. He just lied to his boss over a number of issues that had to do, and you know, so he's gone. And they didn't even they felt they didn't have to give him a buyout clause. He was just fired for his position. What did you think about that when you heard all this stuff with Petrino?
Well, I think the only reason he probably ended up getting fired, I mean, obviously he lied to his boss. That's obviously a big one, but that is still something that that you could, you know, that you could get over. I think a lot of it had to do with the hiring of this female employee who was apparently hired just, you know, days before this happened, I believe March 26th, the end of March, and then it turns out that they're kind of having an affair, and so that might have had some influence on her hiring and whatnot. So that's really what it comes down to is you know, it's just a dumb mistake from somebody who we don't think people saw this coming with him. I mean, there are, you know, are certainly, you know, you're not going to lie, there are certainly some coaches that you you hear something about or some scandal that comes out and you say, okay, I could see that. Not really surprised by that. I don't think people saw this coming with him. So I think that was surprising. I think it caught the university off guard. It caught everybody else off guard. So, you know, I think that that's just something you have to do. You had to get rid of him after this with the lying and with, you know, the potential of it being a, you know, an unfair hiring and whatnot. And so I think that's just something that had to be done, and it's unfortunate to see, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Well, did you think it was wrong for Major League Baseball, or actually the owner of the Miami Marlins, to give Ozzie Guillen a 5-game suspension? Do you think it should have been more, maybe been less?
I don't. I can see where they might say it's a distraction to the season, and you just got to keep your mouth shut on these different things, which is never going to happen with Ozzie Guillen.
Yes.
So, I mean, I at some point I just say, you know, the Marlins knew what they were getting themselves into with Ozzie Guillen. If you wanted a manager that kept his mouth shut, you should have hired somebody else. So at the same time, it's like, you know, every time he says something that you probably disagree with, if that's just something that's not smart to say, are you going to suspend him 5 games? Because if that's the case, he's probably only going to end up managing, you know, maybe 70 games a year. So, I can see where they're coming from. I honestly don't think that he should have been suspended at all. I just think, you know, this is par for the course for him. You know, this is going to come. You know, just you really what happens is you extend the issue longer by suspending him, because you create this whole debate about should it have happened and whatnot. I mean, if you just let it go, let it be, and whatever, then it's dead, you know, in a few days. So I don't think they really did themselves any favors.
Yeah, that's a tough one. And you just, you know, yeah, because it's not going to go away for a while. We know that people of Miami aren't going to let it go away. That's for sure. They say they're going to have a lot of protests and such. Even though he did sound sincere, he did sound contrite when he was making his apology. So he did sound sincere. So maybe he really means it. Maybe this will spur him to make less comments.
Yeah, I doubt it. I mean, the other thing is that you do have to remember context here. I mean, if this takes place anywhere but Miami, it's not a big deal. Miami, obviously, this is a sensitive issue. So that also plays into it. So I don't know that I have an official opinion on it. It's kind of on the fence. I can see where they're coming from, but at the same time, it's like, you know, it's what you get when you hire Ozzie Guillen. I mean, you expect it.
Yeah, well, yeah, they're dealing with it now, so we'll just have to wait and see if there is any more. I think it's sort of going to rest here. He's been suspended for 5 games, and I think that's probably about as much as he's going to get. Could there be more coming down? I don't think there'll be. I mean, unless he opens his mouth up and puts his foot in his mouth again. But, I mean, that was odd. You know, we had Ozzie Guillen, and we also had Bobby Petrino. And Bobby Petrino really getting fired. You know, that was a surprise. Now it'll be interesting to see, who does Arkansas hire? Do they hire an interim coach for this year, somebody off the staff? Or do they go out and hire a whole new person to come in, like Davis, who who graduated from Bob Davis, I think, or not Bob Davis, but graduated in Arkansas grad. So it'll be interesting to see who they do, because this is a team that's sort of lined up and setting up to battle for a national championship. They're a very good team.
Yeah, and it's a tough situation to be in, because here we are mid-April and you don't have a coach, and you can't really go out and do this this grand search. You know, you almost have to do an interim thing unless you've got somebody real quick who wants the job.
Well, I want to thank you all for listening today, and thank you all for calling, and we'll invite you to come back and join us tomorrow here on AM 870 WKAR in East Lansing. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons, call us up, and talk sports. We want you to give us a call right now and pledge your support to WKAR. Give us a call at 353-5000, 353-5000, area code 517, to pledge your support and become a member of the WKAR family. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.